From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for the next half hour for a message from God's Holy Word, some Christ-honoring sacred music, and the hot topic of the day. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a message on the life of Christ called Christ, Beloved by God, but Blasphemed by Men. Matthew 12 records not only Christ's healing the man with the withered hand, but also the opposition of the Pharisees against the Savior for healing on the Sabbath day. In dealing with the passage, Dr. Cairns warns against the danger of hindering the work of Christ by divisiveness in the church. First, however, here's today's hot topic. Hypocrites rank pit bulls above babies.
By now you probably have heard of the legal troubles of Michael Vick, the star quarterback of the NFL's Atlanta Falcons. Vick stands accused of using his property in Virginia to stage dogfights and of bankrolling the whole operation. The government claims that Vick and his co-defendants were guilty of organizing fights in which pit bull terriers fought, sometimes to the death, for purses as high as $26,000. It's alleged that dogs that underperformed were cruelly killed, either by strangulation, drowning, or electrocution. Altogether, the alleged dogfighting operation sounds depraved, and anyone guilty of participating in it deserves whatever punishment the law metes out to him. If Michael Vick is proved guilty of this crime in a court of law, I for one will have no sympathy for him. That a multimillionaire should inflict this kind of pain on dumb animals, either for his own kicks or for monetary gain, is utterly reprehensible. But I do have a problem with the way the press and the public have reacted to Vick's alleged crime. Almost every day, one news report vies with another to sound more outraged that such savagery should be taking place in America. My problem is that in almost every case, the reporters are just a bunch of Pharisees. Every day, a far more depraved form of savagery is being practiced under the protection of the law and with the almost unanimous support of the very media outlets that are so shrill in condemning Michael Vick. Sure, it is depraved to treat pit bulls as the government alleges he and his co-defendants did. But it's far more depraved to butcher 1 million babies a year in America's abortion mills. If there's no excuse for killing pit bulls, there's less for killing babies. Anybody who condemns the killing of dogs but defends the killing of babies is the worst kind of hypocrite. By that standard, we have a country full of the worst kind of hypocrites. The press seems amazed that Michael Vick may have done what the government alleges. That he should have done so for pleasure or for money just adds to his depravity. So ban him from football, put him in jail, fine him heavily, remove his lucrative endorsements. This has been the reaction. But what of the people who kill babies in the womb? They often do it out of mere convenience. They often do it for money. Certainly the abortionists of America have grown rich through their vile trade. So where is the general outrage? People have been scandalized to hear of underperforming dogs being drowned. But for the most part, the same people remain unmoved that every year living babies are hacked to pieces and sucked from their mother's wombs. Even the news that babies born alive, despite the worst efforts of abortionists, have been killed by piercing their skulls, gains little attention and stirs little general outrage. So, kill a dog, and you're in trouble. Kill a living human being in its mother's womb, or sometimes even after it has left it. And for the most part, nobody cares. Woe to America, when pagan values have so besotted its people that they care more for pit bulls than they do for babies. I'm all in favor of the law punishing the tormentors of pit bulls. But I'm even more in favor of the law dealing with those who run the nation's abortion mills for what they really are, baby killers. Never forget, babies outrank pit bulls any day.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving telephone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of the Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, A Plain Man's Guide to the Way of Salvation, and Going On with God, Separated Unto the Gospel, a little handbook that tells you about the Free Presbyterian Church and our stand, and our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. These are free to those who ask, and many of you have already written to get them. We thank those who have written, and we would encourage the rest of you to do the same. If there is any way in which we can help you, please be in touch with us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. So you see, it's really easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. It's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Britain liberated the Iraqi people in the 1930s. Britain gave them their infrastructure for government, for industry, for everything they have today. But man, was it glad to get out. And one of the things that brought it to real crisis was a mighty battle with the Bedouin tribesmen of that area. You see, for 400 years the Turks had ruled that area. Notice the difference. When the Bedouins got together and they wanted to fight, the British, being foreigners and a little stupid when it came to understanding what was going to work locally, took them on. Well, they could beat them. So they took them on, and there was this mighty firepower. They won the battle, but they had to run ultimately. For 400 years, the Turks found something out. Every time the Bedouin tribesmen got unsettled and they got together and they were looking for something, somebody to fight, the Turks just disappeared. And without the Turks in front of them, the Bedouins couldn't agree among themselves for 5 minutes. And so, without the Turks to fight, they started to fight each other, and before you knew it, they had disassembled and they were gone. I sometimes wonder if we have a whole lot of Bedouins in the Christian church. If the devil knows it, make sure we know it too. And I've often told you, and I've said this in every church I've been ministering for years, if there is ever going to be that action, that word that brings division among the people of God and desolation to the cause of God, you make it your vow before God, I will not be guilty of that word or work. I know I've often told the Lord in my own life, coming into the ministry, I made this as a vow before God. Lord, if I have to fight everybody for the cause of Christ, if I have to part from my dearest friend, if I have to part from my own family, if I have to judge my own family in order to stand for Christ, I will do it. But if ever I am the point of division, and it is I and my word and my thought and my action, and I am that division, I will do anything other than divide the church of Christ. Listen, we are about serious business. Church work is not playing at Christianity. We are about serious business. As I pointed out a few Sabbath evenings ago, there are eternal consequences for everything we do in this world. There are eternal consequences. If we believe the things we say we believe in the immortality of the human soul, we believe in the reality of God's heaven and God's hell, we believe in a burning lake of fire, we believe in the power of the gospel to save sinners from that, we believe in the mission of the church to bring Christ to the world, if we believe these things, then in His name let us live as if we believed it. Let's crucify the big I, the ego, the pride, the prejudice. Let's put to death those things that divide the house against itself. Even the devil has that much sense. But, as I say, I'm succumbing to temptation. I shouldn't be preaching that at all from this text. But having done it, I've done it, and there's no going back. So a house divided against itself will fall. Now the Lord Jesus says, you people say, I cast out devils by the devil, but you claim the occasional exorcisms done by your followers as evidence of the power of God in them. When one of you sees the devil cast out, you say this is the mighty power of God. Now, I have demonstrated absolute power over Satan and his demons. And therefore, by your own logic, you know, and this was Christ's great argument, that I display the power of God in a way that you have never seen it before. And the evident working of the Holy Ghost with me proves that the kingdom of God has actually commenced. There's no other explanation. This is what he says. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. The king is here. Man, the Pharisees quite understood that. They weren't as dumb as many so-called Bible commentators and scholars who come to the same passage and see no such claim. The Pharisees understood it perfectly well. I'm the king and I've brought in the kingdom. Now says Christ, verse 30, this puts you in a very serious situation. I have brought the kingdom of God to you. I'm casting out devils. It's a clear case of God and devil, good and evil, heaven and hell. And that puts you in a serious situation, because he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There is no neutrality possible here. I demand a response and I'm going to have it. Let me tell you, of course, that's always true. Every time Jesus Christ confronts people, he gets a response. Even when people imagine they're not making any decision, they're not coming to any conclusion, they are not making any response, by so doing, they have already made their response. For Christ comes as the King with the kingdom, and he demands immediate repentance and faith. And if he doesn't get it, he says, you're against me. And then comes his great argument. If you're against Christ, you stand in mortal danger of what he calls the unpardonable sin. Now, I don't want to get into a lot of details about that this morning. Sufficient to say that the unpardonable sin has nothing to do with what most people imagine it has to do with. The unpardonable sin has not been committed and cannot be committed by people who are convicted about perhaps having committed it. That would be in itself a contradiction in terms. People who know anything of the conviction of the Spirit of God have obviously not committed this sin. This sin here is peculiarly addressed, and while there are parallel passages that apply this to people other than the Pharisees, yet in this instance it's addressed to the Pharisees, who, remember, knew as the people did. We have Nicodemus' own word for it as a member of the Sanhedrin. We know that you're a teacher come from God. We know that no man can do these miracles except God be with him. That was what the Pharisees knew. They knew that Jesus cast out devils by the Spirit of God. They perfectly understood that. This was not from them a response of ignorance. It was a response of bitter repudiation of Christ in the light of the full knowledge of heaven. And addressing them who knew that they were seeing the evidence of the Spirit of God, they said, this is the work of the devil. And Jesus tells them that anyone repudiating Christ and attributing all the evidences of the Spirit's anointing to Satan has blasphemed the Holy Ghost. It's wonderful how Satan turns that passage, which is a passage actually of great grace and mercy, to try and give people a sense of hopelessness that there's no mercy for them. Now the Lord Jesus says, and this is where we get toward the end of the Bible reading, you've made your accusations. It's very easy to put them to the test. You say you're of God. You say I'm in collusion with the devil. How do you know? How do you know the state of the root of a tree? By the fruit that it bears. You know that that root, though you can't see it, is not an apple tree if it's bearing plums. It's not a rose bush if it's bearing thistles. The root is seen and proved by the fruit. And so's your heart and mine. My works declare what I really am. That's what Christ is saying. You want to know what I really am, you'll see it in my works. And I can see your heart in yours as well. You know, when you come to think of it, what Jesus said to the Pharisees is what he said to us today. Verse 36 and verse 37, we didn't go on to read them for sake of time, but he says, Every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. You've launched your attacks on Christ, he says. God's going to call you to judgment. And he'll use your own words as evidence against you. When I read that passage of scripture, I've taken some time to try and make you understand Christ's line of argument. When I read it, I realized that things really haven't changed very much in the last 2,000 years. We meet the same situation today.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.